It was 11 o'clock Monday morning, 1 week following my last meeting with Sarah. It was the one day of the week All About Pies was closed. We decided to spend the day together to talk about her business. As she walked up to the table in the restaurant where we had decided to meet, I could see her excitement. She was a much different Sarah than when I had seen her a week earlier. Her eyes were clear, her body exuberant. She looked much younger. She also looked like she had a lot to talk about. The restaurant was owned by a friend of mine. We had done a lot of work together in his startup years, and so it was a place where I could take a table and spend as much time as I needed without being rushed out the door. In fact, it was a wonderful place to provide a new client with some clarity about what a business could do when done well. Sarah sat down and immediately began to talk. I poured her some coffee. It seems for the first time in my life, I truly have come to some understanding about what I want. It is important for me to tell you how much I appreciate what you've given me, Sarah said. But having said that, I realized from almost the moment you left last week that I would never allow myself again to be consumed by the work of my business. It became obvious to me, with a clarity that's almost impossible to describe, how big a price I've been paying for being so obsessed with my work. And once I realized it, I swear, it was like I was suddenly and forever free of it. Something truly freeing happened to me that night, she continued. And it's not as though I haven't been working for the past 6 days. I have. Business has to go on after all. But this past week was not the way it was before. While one part of me was doing the work, I guess that's the part you would call the technician, part of me stayed removed from it. Part of me wasn't taken at all by the work I was doing. And remember how I told you that I didn't think I was entrepreneurial? Well, I suddenly realized that I am, that I've always had an entrepreneurial part in me. That's what you call the entrepreneur. I've always thought of it as my spirit, Sarah continued. My spirit is what my aunt called it. She used to say to me, Sarah, feed your spirit. It is your spirit which gives you life. I remember as a little girl, it was my spirit that always got me into trouble. It was my spirit that my teachers complained about so much. They used to say to my parents, if it weren't for Sarah's spirit, she'd be doing much better in school than she does. It was my spirit that would dream when I was in the classroom rather than pay attention to what was going on around me. I used to fantasize about things all the time. My head went to the strangest places. Anything could set me off. And while that part of me would really seem to tick my teachers and my parents off, my aunt always seemed to nurture it. You need to be very gentle with your spirit, Sarah, she used to say to me. It needs to be free, but it also needs you to direct its attention. Too much of one and not enough of the other, and your spirit will take off like a wild horse. That's how you need to think of your spirit, Sarah, like a wild horse. Part of it is there to serve you, and another part to serve itself. The thing you need to learn is which part is which. If you put it behind a fence, you will kill it. But if you leave it to come and go as it pleases, you will never understand it. And I see that's what I've been doing these past 3 years, Sarah said to me. I've put a fence around my spirit, around my entrepreneurial nature, without even realizing it. But what I really came to understand this past week is that I've been doing that, putting a fence around my spirit, for a long, long time. My parents taught me how to do it. My teachers taught me how to do it. And like a good little girl, I learned the lesson well. But now, the wild horse is free. Now I'm back in the kitchen with my aunt again. Now I really understand what my aunt was doing with me in the kitchen all those years ago. She wasn't teaching me how to bake pies. She was baking me. She was teaching me about the wild horse, about my spirit, about creativity. And when you talked about the entrepreneur, it all came back to me with a rush. My aunt, the kitchen, the pies, the dreaming in the classroom, the secret places I used to go hide when I was a little girl, and how I stopped hiding in those places a long time ago, and how much I miss it. What I've come to realize is that I've confused baking good pies with what my aunt was really talking to me about. I thought that baking good pies was it, when it wasn't. It never has been, and it never will be again. So back to my business, she continued. It's clear to me now that what I wish to do is to develop it, grow it, and be free of it, to do whatever else it is I wish to do, even though right now, at this very moment, I couldn't for the life of me tell you what that is. Try, I said. Try to tell me as best you can. She smiled. You're just like my aunt. You never let me off the hook either. Okay, I'll try. Why not? What else do we have to do? She closed her eyes for a moment and seemed to gather herself. And then she began to speak softly, as though to herself. I'm a little girl again. When I still had my hiding places, before I lost my spirit. It's summer, and I'm lying in bed looking up at the ceiling in my room, feeling the cool summer breeze floating through the open window. There's nothing I have to do. There's no place I have to be. It's the most wonderful feeling of my life, lying here like this, opening my eyes, closing them, dreaming, smelling the wonderful summer smells, the smell of cut grass, the smell of the water sprinkling on the lawn, the fullness of it. And then I begin to dream, first in colors. Nothing specific, just colors floating above my head like crystals and flowers and blossoms of light in glowing colors. And then the colors take form. They are me, and they are also something else. I'm walking by the stream that runs across our land, about 500 feet from the house, down where the four oaks stand. We have these four oaks, huge, gnarled trees that stand like a miniature forest at the corner of our property. My aunt and I called them Four Oaks, as though they were another country. And I used to go there as a little girl and imagine I was in another country. I'm in Four Oaks now, in my mind, as I lie there in my bed, as I used to do time after time. And it's there where my wild horse waited for me. He is standing in the center of the four oaks, his body glistening in the shade, black as black can be. I walk up to him and touch his face, and he shudders and pulls away from me. For a moment, we watch each other without moving, and then he's gone. He whirls around and speeds off, his mane and tail streaming out of the trees, through the stream, over the hill on the other side of the stream, and out of sight. I'm suddenly aware of the sweet summer breeze again as it softly touches my face, and I'm in bed, hugging myself under the covers, thrilled to be alive on such a wonderful summer morning when there's nothing at all I have to do but this. Tears were streaming down Sarah's cheeks, tears of something precious, lost and then found. There was a radiant smile on her face. The tears also welled up in my eyes, watching her, understanding what this meant to her, and understanding at the same time what this meant to me.